You are listening to The News Project, in studio. Brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Monday, November 29th. It's also a great pleasure to be joined today by Juliana Dotson, who's the director of the Radically Rural Programs, hosted by the Hannah Grimes Center in Keene, New Hampshire, along with the Keene Sentinel newspaper. They host a conference, which is held each year since 2018, each September, I should say, since 2018, and already scheduled for next September, September 21st and 22nd. Brings together folks who are interested in the whole picture of what's going on in rural America and what can make rural America thrive. So, Juliana, great to have you with us today. Thank you for making the time for our conversation and welcome to the News Project.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I guess I just thought we could start by having you tell us a little bit about what gave you the idea for the conference and how did it all begin?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Hannah Grimes Center for Entrepreneurship has been around for around 25 years now. And the executive director and founding director, Mary Christensen, started by asking the question, you know, how can we create vibrant and thriving local economies? Because when she moved from New York City to Roxbury, New Hampshire, back in about 30 years ago, she moved into the home of Hannah Grimes. And Hannah Grimes is not well known in history books by any means. But as she was living in this house and getting to know who had originally owned it by researching, she herself was in the process of making and trying to sell soaps, which she could not sell locally. There just wasn't a local market for it. And as she's learning about the life of Hannah Grimes, she is just admiring how, as this woman was living her life, she either made or grew everything she had or bartered, purchased it from friends and neighbors. And so Marianne wanted to help recreate that in our area. So she started the Hannah Grimes Marketplace, which is a storefront in downtown Keene, where local, anyone within 150 miles, makers and growers can sell their goods there. And as she was in process of starting this store and working with the vendors, she realized that she really didn't know how to run a business herself, and her vendors also may have lacked some business skills as well. So she was kind of in process of learning those skills along with the vendors. And she had the opportunity to acquire a business incubator that had failed, and she had it full within like a month or two or something like that. And that's where the center started. And so since then, you know, Hannah Grimes has been doing programming for local entrepreneurs and small business owners and has been very impactful in the community. So about 15 years ago, she started doing an annual event called Connect, where she was celebrating local graduates of the programs, bringing together local business owners and leaders, and it just kind of kept growing every year, and that folks looked forward to it every year as an opportunity to share ideas, exchange information. And so the president of the Keene Sentinel, Terry Williams, joined the board of Hannah Grimes. And in 2016 and 17, he worked closely with Marianne on that Connect event, and it just grew vastly in numbers and impact. And they kind of realized as they were, as they kind of noticed that this need for folks to connect, especially in rural communities, to have that exchanging of ideas and information was so needed. And so they said, I think this is needed on a national level as well. And so that's when in 2018, they expanded it to a national summit, and that's when it was called Radically Rural. So since 2018, Marianne and the Hannah Grimes Center and Terry and the Keene Sentinel have come together to plan this summit. And last year, they got some grant funding to hire a full-time director, which was me. And so I joined back in the spring. And that funding is also allowing us to expand into year-round programming as well, and just kind of deepening and expanding our national network, which is really the most valuable part of what we do is this network. So that's kind of the history. So it wasn't my idea, but I am reaping all the benefits of being a part of this movement.
Well, I attended your conference last September remotely, and it was fascinating. I enjoyed all the sessions I tuned in. I know you have several tracks you offered: journalism, arts and culture, clean energy, entrepreneurship, healthcare, land use. I kind of stuck with the journalism one. No big surprise there, but it was certainly quite fascinating to kind of hear from other people in the trade and some of the issues and challenges they've been facing. Been really intriguing to watch, and I'm very happy to see that you've already got your conference for next September already scheduled. And I guess while we're thinking about it, people, if they want to register for it after they listen to this, I guess they could just Google Radically Rural and it'll probably come up, but I believe the website is registration.socio.events/e/radicallyrural2022.
Yeah, so if they go to radicallyrural.org and they click registration, it will take them right to that socio registration event page, and they can choose their in-person or virtual tickets there. We also still have, so the Connect event that started 15 years ago, we still keep that networking event as kind of our pinnacle networking event. So folks that are local that may not want to attend the full summit but would like to attend Connect, there is also an option to just purchase a Connect ticket. So those options will all be there for you. And it is early bird pricing right now, which saves you $20 from the full price ticket.
All right. Well, I guess I was just thinking, let's dive a bit into some of the issues facing rural America. There's been a lot written about this over the past 20 or so years at least, but I guess I just wondered from your perspective, what do you see as sort of the main challenges facing rural America, and why, by some indicators anyway, I realize you can probably find others that might give you a different answer. Does rural America seem to be struggling economically compared to urban areas? I mean, I know here up here in Vermont, that's been a question for a while. We've been concerned about things like demographic challenges, an aging population. Younger folks have a hard time taking jobs here because the cost of housing is so high, for instance.
Right.
I guess I just wondered from your perspective, what are you seeing going on or how these challenges are continuing, and is there any kind of, light at the end of the tunnel that you're also seeing that may say, well, we may be going through this now, but it's not going to be like this forever?
Right. Yeah, those are all great questions. And I'll start by saying I am not an expert by any means, but I just in my own personal experience and my life, having lived rurally for much of my life, and also just being in this position and becoming acquainted with so many that are doing amazing work all across the country in rural communities, I've gleaned, some amount of knowledge, but I'm also very interested in continuing to learn myself and hearing from other people what they think. So, I mean, challenges for rural overall, amazingly enough, data collected from the 2010 census, 97% of the country's land area is deemed rural while holding less than 20% of the country's population. So, the impact of rural is pretty incredible when you think of issues like climate change, that were kind of the lungs of America. So although there are lots of of course, challenges in rural America as well, we really like to also focus on like what rural America is bringing to the table and why we love rural communities. So, you know, challenges are going to be probably what most folks are familiar with, healthcare. One of the Daily Yonder articles talked about how at least 181 rural hospitals have closed or stopped inpatient services nationwide since 2005. You know, job availability and wages, transportation, childcare, which is a huge issue that continues to escalate during the pandemic. And then broadband, which is actually on an upswing now where we're, you know, seeing improvement in that infrastructure. Still lots more to go. But, you know, those are all kind of issues that, as you also mentioned, aging populations, not being able to retain the youth and all of that. So all of those are issues facing rural. And I would say that I have seen lots of movement in organizations and individuals really taking these issues and working tirelessly to try to find solutions. So I see a lot of really positive and exciting things happening with rural as well. I think the interest in rural is continuing to grow for the reason that I mentioned earlier about the potential that rural has to contribute to solutions for the climate crisis. Also the kind of urban exodus that happened during the pandemic. I think there's more attention on rural because of that. And as broadband access grows, you know, we have the potential for folks now to work remotely and not have to be located in cities or right outside of cities. So there's definitely more interest. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of those programs that different rural communities are doing now where they're giving stipends to people who move to their rural community. So it's really interesting kind of this shift that's happening. So I think there is a lot of interest in that. So yes, short answer is there are a lot of challenges in rural America and unique challenges to as compared with urban areas, and urban areas also have unique challenges in comparison with rural America. But I also see a lot of really inventive and creative efforts going on and a lot of value to rural America that I think we need to get the story out about and kind of change the narrative of what living rural is.
One of the things that's often intrigued me as I look around the landscape, no pun intended, is how some communities in rural areas seem to be doing pretty well, thriving, certainly fully recovered from the 2008-2009 recession. One person I had on a recent program pointed to that as being an example of how rural America has struggled because rural communities in general have recovered so much more slowly than urban areas from the Great Recession of 12 or 13 years ago. But at the same time, side by side with these thriving communities, there are other communities that just seem to, just be kind of treading water or not really moving forward at all. And I guess I just wondered, as you've listened to all the speakers at the conferences you've had and everything, is there any theme that emerges as to why some communities thrive and others just sort of survive? Is it local leadership that makes the big difference, or is there something more to it than that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the answer is probably pretty holistic in that there are so many factors at play. You know, one maybe obvious one is that the reason that some rural communities were established to begin with may have been based around something like the railroad, you know, and where the railroad was going, or maybe it was based around a manufacturing plant or something like that. And when those things no longer exist, when kind of the core of the ecosystem is pulled out, then there are really obvious reasons why certain communities may struggle with, you know, their proximity to resources, their, you know, all of that. So it could be something very obvious like that, but there's, in everything, there's like hard infrastructure and soft infrastructure, you know, as far as impact on whether a community is thriving. So that may be more the hard infrastructure, you know, do they have the water, sewer, you know, all of the things that they need to maintain that thriving community. But then you have the soft infrastructure, like you mentioned, the leadership. I think that how inventive and creative and malleable a community is so important. So what happens when the railroad is no longer the reason for your existence? Can you pivot? Can you be creative and inventive and collaborate? What can you do to reinvent yourself as a community? And I think the communities that try to hold on to the past too tightly can struggle to reinvent themselves in a way that allows them to continue to thrive. That may be one possibility for why some communities are. I mean, I know, let's say Keene, New Hampshire, we've had a lot of attention on Keene, and Keene may, you know, our population is less than 25,000, but, you know, we have what we need here in Keene. We're not the most rural. We're surrounded by lots of very small towns and communities. I live in Chesterfield, for example, which is, you know, population right under 3,000 probably. There's Roxbury, New Hampshire, where Marianne moved to. That's 200 something. So we're certainly far enough from the major airports and everything that we can feel some of the effects of that rural life. But we've had a lot of attention on Keene because of how we have been resilient through the recessions and through the pandemic. And a lot of the reasons that I think that has been the case is simply investment by community members, working together, collaborating, being creative, being inventive, and kind of an embracing of what has worked in the past, you know, through all of time. What do we want to hold on to? What's no longer working? What do we need to change? So it's like an appreciation for the past and accountability for the future. And I think that's probably what has allowed, you know, areas like ours to thrive. But yeah, it's a great question, one I'd like to think about some more.
I also wanted to follow up on something you mentioned a moment ago about the impact of the pandemic-induced exodus from urban areas into rural areas. We certainly saw that happening a lot here in Vermont. Last year, seemed like there was a gigantic influx of people coming from Boston, New York, and urban areas down in Connecticut. Real estate prices went crazy, and they're being snapped up all over the place. That seems to be continuing to a degree in 2021, but not as intensively. And I guess I just wondered if you thought, is this sort of a longer term phenomenon that we might eventually, in the long run, kind of help redress some of the population imbalances, or is this a sort of a short term thing that kind of similar to what happened after 9/11, when a lot of people left cities and moved to rural areas to, you know, find safer places to live, I guess. But after a year or two, you know, they kind of went back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just my personal opinion, I think that the rate at which it's happening will slow down. I think it is that kind of initial burst of that exodus, but I think some folks will return to cities, and it will probably plateau a little bit, but I think my guess would be that over time we still will see an increase in population for rural communities. Because I think that, for example, as we discussed, once the broadband infrastructure is in place and folks can work remotely, they're not tied to cities anymore. So that's not something that's going to change. You know, the option for telehealth, you know, all of those things will help. We will still have to work really hard to make sure that we are, you know, continuing to improve those areas of life that need to be improved in rural communities. But I think the draw to rural will continue to be there. And I do anticipate an overall increase over time.
Another area that seems to be promising, I think, for rural areas is the whole energy and environment question.
Yes.
I mean, it would seem on the surface that there's tremendous potential for solar farms and other renewable resources to be constructed in rural areas, giving jobs and income opportunities to people. I guess I also find myself wondering and perhaps worrying that will also spark a bit of a backlash by some folks who kind of don't want the solar farm in their backyard or in their, you know, line of sight in some way or another. Do you think that, you know, given all the concerns we've been hearing about recently from the climate summit over in Glasgow, Scotland, the COP26, that there will be kind of sort of a renewed interest in maybe trying to tap into that and provide that as sort of a source of wealth for rural areas?
I do think that, and I believe that there has to be. I mean, at this point, we don't have a choice but to use the resources that we have in a sustainable and regenerative way. You know, we can't be short-sighted here in how we approach these issues. But, you know, I have a lot of notes here of, you know, what I think or feel or have understood from research is the future of rural. But the one main issue that I had highlighted is this idea of sustainable and regenerative agriculture and clean energy production and all of that, because I mean, if you're thinking 97% of our land, less than 20% of our population is rural, it's, you know, that land is what we have to offer the world. We are the lungs breathing for America. And as we address this climate crisis, we must use the resources that we have. And so I feel like every day it's like this fire hydrant of information and ideas and resources that I get in my job, just attending other summits or webinars or reading articles or reading newsletters. I mean, there's so much going on, but there are organizations like Regenerative Rising, the Real Organic Project. There's so many organizations out there that are taking this issue head on and using science based practices to talk about how we can generate clean energy and good agricultural practices that will benefit our world in the long run. And so, you know, I point to organizations that are doing this work to say, I may not understand it, I may not know all the right answers, but there are so many people out there that are doing this work. And we need, part of Radically Rural's work is to connect all these people to say, we're not the ones that are fixing every problem or whatever it may be, but we can connect people that are doing this work so that we can, it's like this snowball effect where, you know, you might have 20 different people in different pockets of rural America addressing an issue. But what if you bring those 20 people together, their efforts are just launched forward in such a way that's really beautiful, because nobody needs to reinvent the wheel. You know, we're all of us are essentially trying to solve the same problems. So it's, so yes, I agree with you that I believe that this issue is and will continue to be on the forefront for rural America.
Well, just before we have to run here, I just wanted to ask you one last question about the coming conference next year. I guess I just was interested in, will they be the same categories as in the past as the ones this year, or will there be some new ones added in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So at this point, we don't plan to add any new tracks. But what we are planning to do is to try to have, you know, a big principle of Radically Rural, and what I agree is going, what I believe is going to be a necessary feature for rural America, is this idea of collaboration, which brings like cross-pollination kind of between, you know, we can't exist in silos. Everything that's happening in rural America is connected. So we will have some sessions that are collaborations between multiple tracks coming together, some topics-based sessions. For example, an example might be we talk about childcare, or we talk about workforce development, or other things like that. So I think there's going to be some really interesting, engaging conversations that will bring folks together from different sectors, so that we can have this energy and this innovation that will come out of that, that I think will help to address a lot of the issues that we're seeing.
I was struck when looking at your website a couple of days ago while preparing for this conversation at how many different states were represented.
Yes.
I guess I sort of figured, oh, this is probably 6 or 7 states, New England, New York, New Jersey maybe. But no, 43 or something like that were at the conference?
Yes. I believe now we have had collectively over the 4 years, I believe we have only not had representation from like 4 states, I think, if I remember correctly. It might be 5. So there is widespread interest in what we are doing, which is really connecting, innovating, and celebrating rural communities. And like I said, we're not the subject matter experts on everything, but the simple formula of bringing people together who love rural communities is really powerful, and it's important. And the longer I'm in this position, and the longer I speak with folks like you and others who are interested in rural America, the more I see this potential. I just feel like we're on this cusp of I don't even know how to explain it. This amazing wave that is going to sweep the nation, and I think it's going to be for the good.
Well, I certainly hope you're correct there. As I said at the start of our conversation, I'm already looking forward to getting to Keene this time in person.
Yes, yeah.
September, and meeting everyone face to face rather than via my laptop screen. But
yes,
I guess we'll have to leave it there for today. Except we can also remind viewers that. If you missed the first part of our show, you can already register for the Radically Rural Conference held next September 21st and 22nd. Just go online and you'll find all the information you'll need there. And yeah, set aside the time already. Not too early.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This was a great conversation. I appreciate your time and interest.
Oh, well, Juliana, I appreciate yours as well. Really, really a pleasure chatting with you. And, well, hopefully we'll see you next September.
That sounds good. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. And thanks
to
all of you for watching as well. Hope you've enjoyed our program. And, well, we'll see you again the next time. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.